from the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonacoski.
When I heard last week of the great swaths of our prairie provinces, from Calgary to Medicine Hat and Saskatoon to Regina, were getting 64 centimeters of snow, I must admit my sphincter muscle tightened up a notch or two. That'll teach a couple of my shirt-tail relatives in Okotoks were delaying their return to Los Cabos of Mexico, where they spend their winter months in the warm sun. Back when my younger brother was a big shot at the accounting firm of PricewaterhouseCoopers, he bought not one but two townhouse condos at the end of the Baja, planning his early retirement just a few years away. He was only 50, had money for days, yet he was one of the nicest men anyone could ever meet. Funny, generous, and to his chagrin, he was often mistaken for the late Canadian comedian John Candy, as in Uncle Buck. But in the summer of 2002, while off on a business trip to BC, he suddenly died of a massive heart attack from which there was no coming back. The shirt-tail relatives I mentioned, well, they're my brother's widowed wife and her second husband. Well, she had the honor of being his fourth wife. And he has seven children from the other three wives, all adult now, who love coming down to the condos that my brother had originally bought to enjoy the warmth of Mexico in the winter. Me, I've been down only once. When her new husband told me I could borrow his Jeep, he never mentioned that it was actually my brother's Jeep. Not a lot of things pissed me off, but that did. So, adios, pal, but please enjoy your life. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonacoski.
Time to take a little behind-the-scenes look at Canada's nationally televised and watched Fishing Canada show on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast, Canada's most watched outdoors program. Actually, most watched program at 8 o'clock Saturday mornings in Canadian households, coast to coast to coast to border to ocean, etc. And why is this week's episode particularly of great importance? Well, because I'm on it. That's why, damn it. God only knows I don't get to do enough of those things anymore. They've kind of cut me right out. Although I was in New Brunswick or Nova Scotia.
Yes.
I passed through New Brunswick.
To get there.
In Nova Scotia to shoot an episode this past week that I'll tell you about at some point in the next 2 hours, if I have time.
If you don't mind behind.
I have time. But right now, I got to tell you about this episode. It is, it was an extraordinary, pre-spawn Lozon Smallies, it was called.
Right.
Mr. Bowman and I, headed north into parts of Northern Ontario that have an open bass season. Open all year round, that is. And we thought we'd check it out. We're not big on, fishing, spawning fish. Mm-hmm. But we thought we could get up there either pre or post-spawn. And have at it. And we did. Fantastic episode. I'm watching it right now as we speak in the studio.
Yes.
As we speak. Beautiful weather. Gorgeous fishing. You don't want to miss it. It's called Pre-Spawn Lozon Smallies. And it's on television right now on Global Television Network as we speak. Of course, if you're listening to this program, you may not be watching that.
So go to www.fishingcanada.com. Click on episode schedule. Next broadcast date's right there. Or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
Of course, while you're there, don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Lotto 999. Check it out. Press the enter button and fill out the information. And you, too, could walk away with a Mercury 9.9 on October 15th, just like the previous six winners have done.
Yes.
All right. Move along. That's right, kiddies. Time for a little in-house safety. He is the safety inspector, former retired, no longer with the Ontario Provincial Police, Bradley Schlarf, on the line now. Good morning, Bradley.
And hanging, waiting patiently to hear what Daryl's got to say. Long time since you've had him on.
It's been a while. I think the last time we had to promise the radio community never to have him on again, and we were hoping that they forgot we promised that, and we're bringing him back on.
They put us in delay.
No kidding.
just like the soccer story that time, or the reason why you got to have that disclaimer at the start of the show. These things all add up after the years and decades. Oh,
they take their toll, don't they? How's it going, big guy?
It's going really good. How about you?
Good. Just got back from my first road trip since my little event, and
You know, I heard you saying about the 18-hour drive, how long that is, but the 18-hour drive where you go through three provinces. We used to go to Quetico Park from here, 18-hour drive, and stay in Ontario, and not even to the other end of it.
How true is that, eh?
People just don't get how big this country is.
And magnificent. Big and magnificent, and we should spend a lot more time than, especially here in the coming months as winter approaches. Everybody's going to migrate, right, like with the birds, right? They're all going south.
Yeah, hibernate.
But there's some beautiful, beautiful country to be seen up here, let me tell you.
So a friend of mine is originally from Sussex, New Brunswick, and he heads east a couple times a year to visit his family and that. And he said the new bypass around Montreal makes it a joy unless you miss it.
No, now somebody set you up for that, did they?
No, he told me that. I just put the two things together and wondering if there's going to be a later story about what happens when you miss the bypass around Montreal and wind up downtown again.
Oh, you right. Somebody set you up. So, yeah, all right. Let me take this one. Well, because there is a beautiful bypass that you could take, and it totally bypasses the city of Montreal. And it's a wonderful, brand-new highway and bridges and stuff, and it's no traffic. It's in it easily cuts out an hour and a half of your trip.
Okay.
If you're going east.
And since you extolled the virtues of it so much, you missed it, didn't you?
So we've been going there for a while. We've been using it since it opened, and we've always, you know, taken it. And so we're coming back last night. We're coming back. It's been, you know, a long trip up to that point, and I'm at the wheel, and I'm bebopping to some 70s tunes on the XM radio.
70s on 7?
Yeah. And didn't I
like
miss
ABBA.
It? Like ABBA, yeah. And didn't I miss it? The next thing I know, I'm heading in the tunnel. And there's no turning back. Once you are heading in the tunnel, there is no turning back.
You're singing Dancing Queen.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, I had to wake up the rest of the crew and let them know that we're heading into the city.
But well, then, if they're all sleeping, why would you bother waking them up? You just exposed yourself. No wonder you get these stories told about you.
Well, do you think I wanted to be pissed off on my own? You should have heard me. I was screaming and yelling like a madman. I didn't want to experience that by myself. I wanted them to wake up and feel a little bit of pain.
How long's the tunnel?
Oh, the tunnel's not that long. It's about a 45-minute, because it's rush hour, too, right, late last night. It's about a 45-minute trip through the tunnel. But the problem is now it's not just the tunnel. Once you get to the other side, now you're dealing with some serious traffic.
Yeah.
And there's no way out of it. So you have to follow it around.
But you have 45 minutes without ABBA, because you usually lose signal from
the tunnel.
Radio, right?
Anyways, it was not nice in the RAM. For that period of time, I was saying some pretty awful things, mostly about myself, by the way, just so that you know. Anyways, talk to me about hunters. There was a lot of hunting activity that we saw while we were away down there. Hunters, a lot of ATVs being used, buddy.
So now the thing is, as we get closer into the more big game seasons and stuff like that, ATVs will become more prominent. And we've got to remind people of the two things that get them in difficulty. Well, three things. Get them in difficulty with ATVs is driving them too fast for the conditions, particularly on roads. Those soft tires aren't meant to go fast and turn fast and whatnot, so people need to be aware of that. And they need to be really aware about the need to wear a helmet. And a lot of times, unfortunately, when people go hunting, the helmet's just not part of the gear. So, when you look at the statistics, the best way to get hurt on an ATV seriously is not wearing a helmet. So,
okay, so at some point, is it mandatory at some point to wear a helmet on an ATV or certain types of roads, or is that just not?
It's mandatory at all points except on lands occupied by the owner to wear a helmet. A helmet, 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 period, is required. So, sometimes it's not just what's legally required, it's what's sensibly required. And, you know, you think you're the good, common sense, practical rider, you don't go fast, you pay attention to what you're doing. But the other things that happen sometimes, particularly in the bush, is it's not uncommon for them to roll over. And it doesn't take a whole lot when it rolls over, going down a steep grade or whatnot, that you hit your head on a rock or a tree, or and what may have been a fairly simple trip to the hospital winds up being life-changing. So, like, you know, you can break and hurt other parts of your body, and they're often more fixable than when you bust up your brain.
As those of us who have a little bit of a brain, that is. Some of us, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Well, let's not get into a big debate about that either. As you turn off going ahead into the tunnel through Montreal.
Oh, God.
Can't let that one go.
You mentioned private and public. Are logging roads, which seem to be opening up quite a bit now in more rural parts of Ontario, opening up quite a bit to the public, are they considered public roads?
Anywhere. You have to wear the helmet, have the insurance. So that's there's no differentiation between a logging road or anywhere else. It's all not private property. So now there are some places in Crown land where different companies have restricted use permits and things from the M&R, but that still doesn't make them private property for the purposes of the Off-Road Vehicles Act or the Highway Traffic Act.
Hmm. Interesting.
So you got to wear a helmet. Like, that's just as simple. If you get on an ATV, other than sitting on it to look around and start it up and move it an inch, you have to have a helmet on your bean.
I've often wondered about this. Can you actually shoot from an ATV?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I know you cannot do that from a vehicle, but I just wondered if an ATV was considered the same.
Well, and there's been some recent clarification on hunting from roads, and it's a little complicated. That's maybe subject for a day's worth. But the idea of riding on an ATV, seeing something that you're going to shoot at, and just parking the ATV and shooting right as you're sitting there, that's always been verboten. And you can't carry a loaded firearm on any vehicle either. So that's
right. Right.
You know, another complication. If you know you're thinking you want to be like somewhere in the rural deep south and just drive around and shoot right from the moving vehicle, that's illegal, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it anywhere. And it's stupid.
I was going to say something. I thought I'd leave it better left unsaid. Any other last-minute safety tips for hunters and hunter wannabes that we're going to be in the field here in the coming weeks?
Well, you know, it's not about hunter wannabes or whatever, but you did bring out about the sentencing for the individual in that canoe. 6 years is a pretty hard touch, but when you read the details, he's not inexperienced with the judicial system. And then the other interesting thing is that there's THC in his blood. So this is one of the issues around cannabis impaired driving is that determining the level, but when you mix THC or any other drug with alcohol, you're compounding the problem.
See, I have to totally disagree with you, and unfortunately, I very seldom disagree with you. You said that you thought it was a pretty harsh sentence. I'm thinking the guy got off scot-free, if you want my opinion.
Scot-free. Oh, I apologize if I said it was a harsh sentence. I think it's a very appropriate sentence, but the reason that it may seem to be a little in the higher, like 6 years, is because he's not inexperienced. One of the reasons he's not inexperienced with the judicial system. This ain't his first kick at the can.
I don't think we pay enough attention to impaired operation of any type of vehicle. We don't. I know we like to think that we're doing our part, and you know we have all these wonderful, this wonderful machinery in place to take care of it. But I don't think we do. I think impaired is impaired, and if you're in control of any type of transportation, I think it should be much more severe. And then if that causes death, wow, to me, that's done. You're done. But that's me.
Well, you and me can have sort of a debate on this forever, because I disagree with you, but look at all the stuff that's going on in the election campaign around guns right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, like, people with guns aren't being treated that harshly.
No, and that's the problem we've got in
illegal
this damn
guns.
Country. Oh, my
right.
God. We should. Oh, illegal guns. Thank you for clarifying that. But anyways. All right, my friend. We could debate. We should. You know what we should do one time before we all hang it up? We should take one of these two-hour episodes, and we should say the hell with formatting, the hell with subject. Let's just have at it. Right?
You, me, Dale, and Jack.
Oh my God!
All in the same place. Like, you guys have to come here.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, we just pile into this room and we just
lock the door.
Lock the door so nobody can come and get us off the air. You know, well, lock it
up.
No,
there's got to be a moderator, Sean Kelly.
The level-headed Sean Kelly can moderate. Perfect. I love it. All right, my friend, I'll let you go. Thank you once again. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too. See you later.
Bradley Schlorf, retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, now our in-house safety expert, playing it safe each and every week on Outdoor Journal Radio. And speaking of Outdoor Journal Radio, we'll have a lot more program coming up. But first, we got to take a quick break. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.